Aren't you glad for amazing grace? I'm praying for that today. Ask you a question before we start today. So if you was to evaluate your life today, would you consider yourself rich? Now, I tell our youth all the time that they are very rich according to the world standards. Do you realize that if you make $25,000 to $30,000 a year, you're in the top 6 to 8% of the wealthiest people alive and on this earth, okay? And Americans, if you drive a car, that's something. You know, I got one of those when I was 16 years old. Actually, a little bit before I was 16, I had a car. And I didn't think it was a very good car, but it looked to be a fast car. I liked that part of it. But I was rich. And we don't look at ourselves that way. But brothers and sisters, I want to read a scripture to you just in the introduction of this. It's in Romans 8, 16 and 17. It says, "The Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children." I love this part. "And if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him." Guys, I want you to think about how rich the God that we serve is. How much does He own? The Bible says He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. There is nothing that isn't our Lord's. He's gave us the opportunity to steward the things that He's put in our lives. And how good a steward are we? You know, I love Hillcrest Baptist Church for the very reason that we had four guys stand up here and testify to the fact of what is going on in Cuba. And we've got people over in Africa, 8 or so people that's in Africa today telling the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are blessed, and we are blessed beyond measure to be able to reach out to those things. But even here, you know, I've heard people say, "Why do you guys go over there when there's so many lost people here?" Well, the Lord said go here, and He said go there. He didn't say when to go. He didn't say you needed enough to go. He just said go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them everything that you know. And I know that's not completely the correct thing, but I want you to realize that we have all got a part in what goes on at this church. And if you're sitting in a pew today, then you're here because you wanted to be here. We don't force people to come here. We ask you, we invite you, and we invite you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Each and every time the word is preached, that's what we are here to do. That's what we send people to do, is to invite each person into a relationship with Jesus Christ. The most richest thing you could ever do is accept that. So turn with me to Luke chapter 16 today. There's two destinations that we're going to talk about today. Probably one a whole lot more than the other, because it's the one that we want every human being to avoid. Because God did not create hell for human beings. He created human beings to have a relationship with them, to walk with them, and to talk with them. Well, we get a little picture of what heaven's going to be like and how horrible hell's going to be. And it ought to drive us to really look around ourselves. And I kind of set you up. And I don't want you to think that I think this of every person, but we at Hillcrest Baptist Church, our mission is to help me. What is it? Maybe the Lord done that on purpose. Okay. To see lost people saved, saved people discipled, and discipled people sent. And that's our goal at Hillcrest Baptist Church. And that happens by you having relationship with people. So as you read this story, I want you to read this, and I'm, like I said, don't put too much, but I want you to evaluate your life. That's what the Bible tells us to do. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourselves to make sure you're in the faith. It's just a challenge today, guys, because there's all kinds of people in our lives. As I read this story, just think of yourself as the rich person in this story, and you say, that can't be me. Okay? I'll tell you why. There was a rich man. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. I'm sorry. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. It said, there was a rich man. This is a parable of Christ. Who would dress in purple and fine linen, feasting lavishly every day. But a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, lying at the gate. He longed to be filled with what fell from the rich man's table. But instead, the dogs would come and lick his sores. One day, the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he looked and saw Abraham a long way off with Lazarus at his side. Father Abraham, he called out, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip at the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this flame. Pay real close attention to verse 25. He says, son. Abraham said, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, just as Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here while you are in agony. Besides all this, a great chasm has been fixed between us and you, so that those who want to pass over from here to you cannot, and neither can those from there cross over to us. Father, he said, then I beg you to send him to my father's house, because I have five brothers to warn them so they won't come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. But he told him, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded if someone raises from the dead. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just come to you today. And Father, you know my heart, and you know how much I've wrestled with how to preach this today. And Lord, I just pray that you would just take my words, and Father, that you would speak through me. And Father, that you would convict the ones that need to be convicted. Father, that you would encourage the ones that need encouraging. And Father, that you would let us know by your Holy Spirit, Father God, that we're doing exactly what you want us to do in each and one of our individual lives. Father, if there's one here that needs to be saved, Father, and repent and turn from their sins, Father, I just pray that they would do that. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you would just help us in this time to take from your word the things that we need to take from it. And Father, to help us, because we know your word is powerful, and it's able to divide the things that need to be divided, so we can see where we truly stand with you. And in Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. You know, there's two people in this story. The rich man, that we learn about how he lived his life. And guys, I don't know about you, but I eat pretty good, and it even shows in my physical stature how I like to eat the food that my wife cooks, and we love to go out to eat together. That's just something that we've always done. We still like to go out on dates, and that's one of the things that we enjoy doing together. And we do that probably once a week. You know, last night, well, I was sitting in the deer stand, and I was, because I was so bored and never had seen anything all day long, I was texting my wife and my son, and Pete, of course, was in the other deer stand just down the way. And as I talked to my wife, I said, she was gone this week from Wednesday till Friday, and I'd ate leftovers, and I'd cooked for myself, and I'm a pretty good cook, don't get me wrong, I don't go hungry. Matter of fact, one night I had T-bone steak, so don't feel too sorry for me. But I texted her and I said, so what's for supper? And she said, how about Mexican? And I said, so we're going to make a run for the border. And she said, if you try to take me to Taco Bell, you're going to make a run for the border. Okay? So when I got home last night, I said, well, where's the Mexican? Because I was really just wanting to stay home because I had hunted all day. But we ended up at a Mexican restaurant because that's what we enjoy doing. And I wasn't really opposed to it. It was just the fact that that's something. But there's two people in this story. One of them rich, and he'd done whatever he wanted to do. And there was one that was really poor. And maybe you think you're really poor today. I don't know. But I want you to look at, he dressed in expensive clothes every day, ate whatever he wanted every day. He was only concerned about what he wanted. And this guy, Lazarus, was laid at his gate every day. And he was beyond poor, covered in sores, just wanted to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And the dogs licked his sores. And the rich man never gave him a thought, never gave him anything. Let him sit at his gate. You know, I often wondered why the rich man would allow that to happen. Why would the rich man allow that to happen? Why didn't the rich man hire some guys to carry him off? Somebody carried him and put him there. Surely he could have got somebody, but maybe that was his charity. You know, maybe his rich friends came and gave the poor Lazarus something to eat or gave him something to drink. And, you know, I don't know, but that's his thing. And then there's two places. Both men die. Of course, Lazarus dies first. You would expect that, right? But he dies first, and he went to heaven, to Abraham's bosom, because to a Jew, that was the best place to be. And as you think about that, I want you to think about the fact of how much the Jews put on Abraham. Everything revolved about them being children of Abraham. That's the reason they were going to heaven, was because they were children of Abraham. They were physical descendants of Abraham. And I don't know about you, but I don't know much about my genealogy and don't really care to know. I make a joke about it a lot because my cousin has researched it, and you know, he tells me where we were knights and nobles and all this stuff, and that we changed our name back a few hundred years ago from James to Jeems to avoid all that ridicule and all that stuff. And now, you know, they're celebrated. Jesse James is celebrated. And he really likes that, okay? I mean, if you're a Jeems, you're related to me, okay? Because there's only a couple of branches of us. And that's the reason there's only a couple of branches, according to James, okay? So as you think about that, I want you to think about what they put in being Jews. You think about Paul in Galatians, where he talked about who he was, okay? But both of these guys went somewhere. Lazarus went to heaven to sit at Abraham's side. The rich man was buried and found himself in torment in Hades or hell, a holding place until everything's cast into hell, okay? Because hell's not open yet, as Chuck has told our youth that, and they remind him often. But it's still a place of torment. You're separated from God. If you don't make a choice for Jesus Christ in this lifetime, then that's where you'll spend eternity, separated from God, separated from the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, who willingly took the punishment for our sins, and rose again, conquering death in the grave. And see, Lazarus had trusted God. And Lazarus' name means, God is my help. Do you realize that you could never go to heaven without God's help? God took your punishment. He took the whipping that you deserve. He took the nails that was meant for you so that you could be displayed as punished. But God took that for you, sending Jesus Christ. I agree with C.S. Lewis in this statement. It says, there is no doctrine which I would more willingly remove from Christianity than the doctrine of hell, if it lay in my power. But it has the full support of Scripture, and especially of our Lord's own words. It has always been held by the Christian church, and it has support of reason. So that's a C.S. Lewis statement that C.S. Lewis says about hell. And every one of us don't like the sound of that place. But it has the support of reason that if you reject a holy God, that there is a place for you. Because every one of us is eternal beings. Every one of us are going to live forever and ever. That's one of the ways that God created us in His image. Why do you think that we want to live forever? Why do you think we plan to live for it? Like, tomorrow's a guaranteed thing. I know every one of you has probably got plans of what you're going to do tomorrow, but it's not promised. It is not promised that you will make it till tomorrow. And if many of you know that I've lived a life to where done some pretty stupid things in my life, more than I would want to tell you. But God has gave me grace in those things, and I'm still here, thankfully. Because I really enjoy my kids. But, you know, the Bible promises that it's appointed unto man to die once and then the judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says that. We're going to just die one time in this life. You know, there are instances, as I think about it, that Lazarus had to die twice. The one that Jesus rose from the dead. I'm sure that if you would ask him, he would have preferred to stay where he was. I've preached that a couple of times. We won't go that direction. But can you imagine experiencing heaven for 4 days and then, oh, you got to come back? I don't think so. I would have ran, okay? I've tried to run from the Lord, but you can't. You know, as we look at these two people, and the reason I want you to concentrate on the rich man, because every one of us is rich. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you're rich because of Him. And if you live in this country, then you're richer than about 90%. You're in the top 10% of people richer than that. And maybe you don't know Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't know Him as your Lord and as your Savior. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. What the rich man didn't do, and what's wrong in this parable, he's telling this parable to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he wouldn't even meet the basic need of that person. Okay? So I want you to think about this. Who sits at your doorstep every day that don't know Jesus Christ? Guys, this is the reason I didn't want to preach this, because there's people that sits at my doorstep that I haven't told about Jesus Christ. Okay? That God brings into my life on a daily basis. Not many, but there's some. A guy that I've knew for a really long time. Never told him about Jesus Christ. I've lived where I live since 1995. You do the math. He's lived around me, done all kinds of things around me. I know who he is. We meet each other on the road. Never told him about Jesus Christ. Never, ever. I'm the rich man in the story. Okay? I don't know whether he's going to heaven. I don't know whether he's going to hell. I always thought he was a little bit arrogant. He's never alone. The other day, he was all by himself. I was actually cutting wood on his property that our creek that runs right in front of our house had brought down, and it was just an eyesore. And he stops and he talks to me. And the Lord began to deal with me. You've never told him about Christ. Lord, I don't even know how to go there. I've been through, can we talk? I've done the three circles. I watch Ray Comfort on a regular basis share his faith with people. Okay? There is no excuse for me not to know how to talk to people about Jesus. Have a spiritual conversation with this man. So you know what? I just dive in. I ask him, I said, Nick, Can I ask you something? He said, sure. Shoot. So I asked him, if you was to die today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Oh, I would go to heaven for sure. There's no doubt in my mind. Why? I'm a good person. Really? So I took him through some of the Ten Commandments because that's what I've been trained to do. You ever told a lie? You ever stolen? You ever took God's name in vain? You ever looked at a woman with lust? Because the Bible says even a look with lust is adultery or fornication in your heart. Done every one of those. Except the one of adultery. He said, I don't look at women anymore. I said, yeah, whatever. Okay? So you're a liar, you're a thief, and you're an adulterer, and you're a blasphemer at heart. But I've done more good than bad. And I said, what about Jesus? I don't believe in the Old Testament or the New Testament. I don't believe in Jesus. And I don't want to talk. He basically told me he didn't want to talk about it anymore. The end of conversation. He was going to heaven because of what he done. Guys, what we do, my witnessing for Christ will not take me to heaven. Okay? But the fact that there's people sitting at my doorstep that don't know about Jesus, there's the problem. Because if we say that we're Christians, every one of us is called to share. Every one of us is called to be an evangelist. Every one of us is called to preach the gospel. Maybe not like I do here. Okay? Not every one of us is called to pastor, but every one of us is called to share. Because there's people sitting at your doorstep, and they're beggars. Okay? Because they don't know Jesus. They don't know the first thing about Him. So we talked a little bit further, and he believes that anybody that believes in the one true God will go to heaven. Muslims believe in the one true God. They believe in one God. He used that terminology, I didn't. Okay? Let me tell you. And the reason this hit me so hard this week is in Matthew 7:21-23. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. What's the will of the Father? For human beings to be saved. And he's going to use human beings to tell the gospel story. You cannot save anybody. Don't ever say that Bradley James saved anybody. Jesus Christ saved you from your sin. All I can do is present the gift. And don't ever knock yourself saying, oh, I don't know how to do it. Okay? Because you know why I started out doing this? And I was convicted to do this for a really long time. I would ask about church, and I would ask, just try to have a spiritual conversation with people. And I didn't know how to do it. But guys, I'm telling you, here at Hillcrest Baptist Church, you aren't going to be able to use that excuse, because Brother David has taught and taught and taught and modeled that for you over and over and over again through Can We Talk? Three circles, or just however else you want to learn how to do it. Just have a spiritual conversation. And if you'll just ask that one question, what's going to happen to you when you die? If you know the answer for yourself, that's a great thing. Because I know the answer for me. I know that I'm convicted to share. And because the Spirit tells me to share. Guys, this guy's sin was the fact that he would not meet that guy's needs. And in America today, we preach a gospel that says, oh, just come to church. Just come to church. Will not save you, folks. I'm sorry for yelling, but it just won't do it. Your good works, what you do here, will not save you. The Lord Jesus Christ saves you. And He gives you a desire to teach others. And if you do not have that desire, I'm going to quote somebody that's not dead. A guy that I listen to on a regular basis. A guy that I learned how to do evangelism from. And every evangelism strategy, if you want to call it that we've ever done, I've implemented this into it. Okay? Ray Comfort says this. And I'm jumping ahead. I'm sorry, Norm. But it says, if you are not concerned about your neighbor salvation, then I am concerned about yours. Guys, if you don't feel something for your neighbor who lives by you, who works by you, who you the gas station attendant that you see every day, to the people that you just meet one time, if you're not concerned about their salvation, and that's the whole point of who's your one. That is the whole point behind who's your one, is for you to pick somebody and say, I want to know about this person's salvation. Lord, open doors for me so I can know that that person's saved. And if that person's saved, then you move on to the next person that you want to know. And if you're not willing to do that, then I'm concerned about your salvation. I'm not saying you're not saved. Hear me out. I am not the judge. Jesus is the judge. And in Romans 16, I'll take you back to that. It says, the Spirit Himself will testify together with our spirits that we are children of God. Guys, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts of sin. It's the Holy Spirit that tells us that we have lied, cheated, and stolen. It's the Holy Spirit that does those things. And when we're convicted and we repent and turn away from those things and start following Jesus, then this is what our life is about. Yeah, we've got jobs. Yeah, we've got responsibilities. It's not wrong to further our education. It's not wrong to do those things. But let me tell you something. It is wrong for us to let people sit at our doorstep and not tell them about Jesus. See, I envision it like this. I envision it like this. Me standing with Jesus on Judgment Day, when the people that are judged that comes through. And I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm just saying this is the way I envision it. But the people that I should have witnessed to, or the people that I have witnessed to, that never accepted Christ, comes through that line. And He says, depart from me, I never knew you. And the ones that I didn't tell, they're going to say, but He never told me. He never told me about the gift that He received. Guys, I don't want to be there. I don't want it to be that way. But I'm telling you, we have a lost world out there. Every church in this town, county, state would be full if we had the population out there in here to listen to the Word of God. There's two places, and I don't want anybody to go to any one of them. And I'm not saying you have to witness to every person that you come in contact with. But when the Spirit prompts you, and I've missed some opportunities, and I could be this rich guy, okay? But I know I'm not, because I know I'm saved. And you should know too. But I feel deep regret. And then you know what Satan does to me? A whole lot of the time he'll do this. Well, you didn't handle that very good. That conversation didn't go where you wanted to go. I believe in the promise that God's Word doesn't return void. Do you believe God's promise? There's 3,000 of them in the Bible. Do you believe? And who's your one? It's not somebody that wants somebody that's already going to church. It's somebody outside these four walls. If you're here today, hear me say. Please hear me say that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. There is none righteous. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This rich man that we're talking about today, he had sinned. His problem was he knew about God. He went to the synagogue. He even gave money to the synagogue. He just wouldn't meet the need of the poor guy that was sitting outside his gate. He wouldn't provide the very thing that he needed. And they both die. And I've got to hurry up. First time I've ever run out of time. You believe that? So there was two petitions. We'll move pretty quick. There's two petitions. Both of them come from the rich man. Seriously. Lazarus never speaks. Lazarus never speaks in this whole deal. He's in heaven. He's enjoying it. There's no comprehension of that. The rich man pleads with Abraham for a drop of cold water. Guess who he wants to bring that to him? Lazarus! Lazarus, he's my servant. See, that guy's attitude hadn't changed for Lazarus at all. He says, send Lazarus, because he's lower than me. Send him down here to dip his water and cool my tongue for just a moment. Guys, that's what it's going to be like in hell. I don't know about you, and I got a little bit more experience than most on that deal. I got to as close to hell as I'm ever going to get 2 years ago. Okay? Not fun. But let me tell you something. God has provided a way for you to not go there. But you may choose to go there. Some of us will. Some will. A lot will. But then the second request for Abraham to send Lazarus back from the dead to tell his family, his five brothers, about Christ. Okay? So he wants him to send Lazarus back from the dead. I'd be like, no, I done told you that. But Abraham don't even give him the opportunity and says, nope, you can't. We can't go that. If you don't hear the word of God, that's enough. Guys, if you speak to the word of God to people and they reject it, it's on them. It's not on you anymore. See, in Ezekiel, you're the watchman. If you read that passage and you know what their demise and they don't, then it's on you if you don't warn them. But if you warn them, then it's on them. And I don't want any of them to have that on me. Okay? And I there are some that will, I guarantee you. So he asked those two things. But Abraham called him son. And I told you to pay real close attention to that. Why? Because he was truly a son of Abraham. See, the Jews banked completely on the fact that if their genealogy included Abraham, they would go to heaven. No ifs, ands, or buts. What are you banking on? Who are you banking on? Because I'm banking myself on Jesus Christ. Not my dad, not my mom, not my wife, not my kids. I'm banking on Jesus Christ. And that's the key right there. You cannot get to heaven through somebody else. You've got to go by yourself. It'll only be you and God when you stand there before Him. Only you and God. Nobody else. Except for Jesus Christ. If you have Him. Can you imagine? I don't know. My brain works weird sometimes. But He calls your name. And Jesus is sitting over here on the front pew. You got to go up there and stand. And Jesus just sits here. Don't ever approach the throne of God. Just sits here. And God says, why do you deserve my heaven? Well, I've done this, this, and this for you. You called upon your name. He called upon the name. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone. Guys, I know that ain't me, but I don't know that it ain't you. And I think we need to be a lot more about sharing our faith with the people that sit on our front porch or our front gate, whatever you want to do, whatever you want them sitting at, I don't care. What I do care about is you to share the gospel. And you can't say through who's your one, through can we talk? I told Rod if I stumbled on that was the cue. Okay, but I got it. Through can we talk? That's a great opening line, by the way. Can we talk? Or through three circles. Guys, there's training in this church for you to help yourself overcome those barriers. And it's going to be up to you to take advantage of those things. And if you do not do that and you say to God, well, that person, I just never could bring myself to do that. Then there's something wrong with your salvation. Now, there's two things that I want to bring up in that. Two things. Because I would feel guilt and know I should have. That's a great thing. That means you're probably saved. You need to execute what the Lord's put on your heart. Pray that He give you the power. The only thing is, just like me preaching, I stress and I fret about how this is all going to come out, and if I'm really going to last for the 40 minutes that you guys are going to give me to preach and all that stuff. And I look at the clock and I think, oh my gosh, how many words have I said? And really, what have I said? Okay? But the Lord gives me what I need to say in that moment. And the better you get, the more you approach people, the better you get at doing that. And it becomes fun. Okay? It's kind of like hunting. Okay? I love to go hunting. Still excites me when I see deer. Matter of fact, I told Pete this last night. I said, Lord, I'd really like to see some deer tonight. I didn't pray specific enough. The deer I saw was 450 yards away, and he didn't stay very long. I wouldn't have shot at him anyway, because I wouldn't have wanted to win to look for him, because I'm not that good a shot. I did see a deer, okay? But if you will just pray to the God in heaven, the God who has complete control over you, he will direct this thing. He's the only one that can use your tongue better than you. Okay? He's the only one that can tame it. He has tamed my tongue. He's turned things, and I can still use it for horrible things. I really can. Ask Carol. We don't ever do that. Ever. Okay? Two problems. There is no changing things after we die. You've got this life. That's just the way it is, folks. He's gave you opportunity in this lifetime, whether it be 14 years, whether it be 72 years, or I met a lady the other day, and a gentleman. He was 97, and she was 94. Guys, you think nursing home ministry don't matter? It matters to those people. Just sharing with them. If you have time, come out on a Thursday and just love on people. Because a lot of them don't have nobody to love on them. They wonder where people's at. The other problem, people who will not believe God's word will not believe a great miracle. No matter what you do, no matter what you promise them, just use God's word. It ain't the music, even though it's really good, Keith. Okay? I enjoy our worship so much. But it's not the music. If that's what brings them to this church, that's great. But if we don't preach Jesus, then we failed them. Okay? If I wouldn't have preached this message, and I kind of told God I didn't really want to preach this specific in the way that I preached it. But I just want you to examine yourselves. Okay? Ray Comfort also said this. It's amazing that we hesitate to talk about the wrath of God for the fear of making sinners feel fearful. The fear that they feel this side of the grave will be nothing compared to the fear that they feel when they stand before an almighty God. Just think about that person. And if you don't have a person that you're thinking of right now that's lost, or maybe you don't know whether they're lost. That was my story. I didn't know whether he was lost. I assumed correctly. But guys, there's something wrong in your relationship with God because he sent you to those people. You understand that? He brought those people to your doorstep. And that's the reason Brother David has promoted who's your one through this entire year. You can start today. You can move on to another person. You can choose two or three or four. I followed up with one this week. That at the very beginning, I'll tell you this short story. The very beginning of this year, last year, I met a guy. Young guy. He moved away from here. I prayed for him. Got to talk to him about the Lord. He moved away. He's had an accident, and some bad things has happened in his life. I had lunch with him on Tuesday. I still don't know where he's at. Still up to me to pray for this young man and his family. He's got a wife and a little baby, and he's facing brain surgery. Will he enter eternity without me knowing? Maybe. Maybe I'll lose contact with him completely. I don't know. But I know I have shared the gospel with this young man more than once. And all I can do is pray for him. And if you're a Christian and you don't have people like that in your life, then you might be this rich person. Because I'm telling you that every born-again believer in Jesus has adopted the will of the Father, and that's to save sinners that are lost. And that's where a lot of my sin comes from, because I'm disobedient a lot of times. Okay? I'm just being honest with you. I am not 100%. Okay? I wish I was. I know I'm 100% in the Father's grace, though. If I met my Maker today, He would say, "Welcome home." Do you have that security? Because if you don't, you need that. I didn't think that you could ever have it, but I'm telling you, you can. Through this right here. I tell students all the time, if we read this thing will transform our lives. We have to read it. We have to listen to it. We have to gather with people to keep us on track. And if there's anybody that teaches anything other than this, like you could go to heaven by your works, pray for them, number one. Number two, try to have some good conversation with them about grace. Because it's not anything that you do. It's all about what He done and will do through you. He wants to use you. He desires to use you. Brother Keith, will you come? Let's pray. Father, I just thank You for this time. Lord, time just seems real short to me this morning. I could probably go a little longer, but Lord, I know that each and every one of us are here to just process Your Word. Father, I just pray that each and every one that is here, Father, that they would just know that You are God. And Father, that You desire a relationship with them. And Father, if they don't have that assurance, if they don't know that they are saved, Father, I just pray that they would come. Father, maybe they just want to pray at their seat. And Father, that would be fine too. And Father, just to repent of their sins and ask You to forgive them. And Father, to invite them, invite You into their heart, Father. And even though it's not in the words that we use, it's in the fact that we turn our lives over to You. And Father, then we pursue You with all of our heart. And Father, try to live for You each and every day and just to study Your Word and do the things that we need to do to have that relationship with You. Father, I just pray, Lord God, that You would use this time to convict and to encourage each believer here. If there's one here that needs prayer for whatever reason, Father, I just pray that they would come and be obedient to what You've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.